Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1261 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is important in order to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, it is required that we also have a proper understanding of God and His Word. Our focus for the next several months on our Worldview Wednesday is mastering the Bible through a series of brief insights. These insights are extracted from the book of the same title from one of today's most prominent Hebrew scholars, Dr. Michael S. Heiser. This book is a collection of insights that is designed to help you to understand the Bible better. When we let the Bible be what it is, we can understand it as the original readers did and as the original writers intended. Each week, we will explore two additional insights. So today, we're going to look at Mastering the Bible, No Bible Available. So insight number 15 is, most people in the biblical world had never read the Bible. This might seem like a shocking statement. It is one of the more dramatic examples of how our lives as Christians are quite unlike the lives of biblical people. But once you give the assertion some thought, it becomes clear that it is very true. The Bible was written in stages. The Old Testament wasn't completed until the 5th century BC, roughly 1,000 years after the Exodus of Israel from Egypt. Even in the best scenario, after completion, there would have only been one Bible for decades. Everything had to be copied by hand. During the Old Testament period leading up to the exile, which is approximately 6th century BC, the emphasis of Israel's faith was the temple, its rituals, and the secular calendar of holy days. Not only was there no complete Bible, but even the books that existed were property of the temple and its priest. The average Israelite only read or heard snippets from it, such as the Shetna, which is Israel's creed from the Torah, and was considered some of God's commands. And this can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. So let me read it. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, and when you are on the road, and when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. There were no synagogues in ancient Israel either. The synagogue came about during the exile after the temple was destroyed. Israelite priests could not possibly teach everyone house to house, as they had other assigned duties and the population was just too large at that point. For most of the Old Testament period, people learned biblical content from storytelling or oral traditions, as was referred to above. Things got a little bit better. Jews had their Bible, the Old Testament, in the form of scrolls. It would have been very rare for someone to have a Torah at their home due to the expense and labor of hand copying it. But chances are high that they were exposed to more of the Old Testament through regular attendance at the synagogue than ever before. The Old Testament, at that point, was written in Greek, would have been the Bible of the early Christians. The New Testament books were written in the 1st century AD, between the late 40s and AD 100. But most of those were in the form of letters sent to individual churches. The church would have copied the letter and then sent it to another church, where it would have been read aloud. It also took a couple centuries for the early Christians, led by the Spirit, to discern which of the new writings would be considered sacred, or on par with the scriptures that they had inherited from Israel. All of this leads to the fact that most biblical people were profoundly ignorant of what we think of today as the Bible. They were not having morning devotions or studying the Word. We ought to be careful of criticizing something they said or did as though that they would know better. They may have not. We have something very precious that they didn't have. Availability of the Bible in dozens of translations, in printed and electronic format, so we are held more accountable. So now let's move on to the next insight. Insight number 16. The biblical writers were not semi-literate amateurs. Dr. Heiser mentions that he has several friends who write professionally. Some write resumes for people, others write fiction or for newspapers. Several are bloggers or freelancers. Any writing trade requires a certain skill set, and that means having more than a firm grasp of grammar, spelling, and punctuation. There are several overlooked aspects of writing as a trade. For example, knowing your audience and their expectations is crucial. Audiences naturally expect clarity and readable prose. But there is part of the audience expectation that is less familiar. The competence of a writer is also judged on whether the writer produces content in that expected form. Those expectations arise from the type of document in view, or its genre. All of us take the form of a document for granted. We don't even think about it unless we encounter a flawed example. If you were in a court, for example, and your lawyer handed the judge a document, only to have the judge growl out loud that the document wasn't prepared in accordance to the required specification, you would wonder if the lawyer knew what he or she was really doing. If you picked up a book and the table of contents was in the back, you'd think immediately that the publisher or the writer was incompetent. If you were reading the first chapter of a novel and it told you how the story was going to end, you would wonder if the author had any sense of plot. Every genre includes expectations about the right way to write. When writers violate this sense of convention, most readers would think that the writer is an inexperienced amateur, or a hack in literary terms. The Bible writers were not hacks. The Bible is filled with all types of literature: laws, legal cases, treaties, poetry, historical narrative, apocalyptic visions, letters, annals, parables, and speeches are just some of the examples. Each one came with expectations of how the particular type of literature ought to be written and structured. The fact that biblical material has a high degree of conformity to ancient examples of all these literary genres shows us how the people who wrote the scriptures knew what they were doing. They were competent writers. The Bible wasn't the result of amateur hour. This has two implications for us as Bible students. First, we are obligated to discover what the Bible writers were doing. We need to learn something about the literary genres of the Bible and how biblical writers wrote according to such forms. Second, we need to let our knowledge of what the biblical writers were doing to dictate our reading. Simplistic readings of the Bible that are inattentive to what the biblical writers were doing and why will not produce an accurate interpretation. Part of the understanding of the Bible is understanding the writer's craft. Peter voiced this thought in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and Christ the morning star shines in your hearts. Well, that will conclude this week's lesson for another two insights from Dr. Heiser's book, Mastering the Bible. Next Worldview Wednesday, we will continue with two additional insights. I believe that you'll find each Worldview Wednesday an interesting topic to consider as we build our biblical worldview. Tomorrow, we will continue with our 3-minute humor nugget that will provide you with a bit of cheer, which will help you to lighten up and live a rich and satisfying life. So encourage your friends and family to join us and then come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek. Creating a legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,260 treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day's trek will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend, as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and then leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward. enjoy your journey, and then create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.